Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we're starting a two-part series, and I don't even know if our guest today knows that he's part of a two-part series, but we're going to do an episode today that looks at what it's like to work at an RV dealership during a pandemic. And then in our next episode, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to somebody that works at a campground. We're going to see, what is it like to work at a campground during these kind of wild and crazy times? So many dealers across the country had to shut down this spring, which was existentially difficult for many of them. And then they emerged into what has become the summer of RVing, and sales are explosive. So it's just been an incredible roller coaster ride for dealers across the country. And I wanted to talk to somebody that worked at a dealership, and the only person I could get was Josh the RV Nerd from Haylit. So Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, the only person you could get. You failed to mention that. I didn't realize I wasn't your first choice, but that's okay. I don't know if I was my wife's first choice either.
You were absolutely my first choice. And honestly, we follow you on social media, and I got the idea from a post you put up. I mean, when you said that you had this record-breaking sales day, I just thought to myself, God, what a crazy day that had to be. I want to talk to him about that day. So we're going to do that. But before we dive in, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. There are a few lessons that RVers learn quickly. Things aren't always easy. There's always some work to be done and a helping hand to be shared. A little dirt never hurt, and the forecast doesn't always cooperate. But the most important thing that RVers ever learn, a bit of resilience goes a long way. Let's lead the charge back together. RVers were built for this. Jayco was built for this. To find out more, visit jayco.com/builtforthis for comeback-related news and advice. So Josh, get us situated again and tell us where Haylit is located, what community you're in, just so all of our listeners can remember.
Well, you would never imagine a place as large as ours came out of such a little town in southern Michigan, but we're in the dead south central part of Michigan, 13 miles north of Indiana, which puts us really close to the heart of all the RV production. And other than our big place, the only, you know, the joke that I always throw out there is there's only a couple things to do in cold water Michigan, and that is to go to the bar, to buy a camper, and to leave. Not necessarily in that order, but I don't know, maybe it's happened.
So, you know, Michigan is a great state for camping, though. I mean, you're kind of joking, saying you're out in the middle of nowhere, but Michigan is truly a great state for RVing, and you guys are a very well-established dealership. Give me a general sense of what a typical spring slash early summer is like for you guys in terms of busyness, in terms of sales. Like, what was it like last year?
Well, to give you like a very trackable number, during the COVID period last year, we clocked in approximately $3 million worth of sales. So that's like, you hear, you know, X number of trailers during this time, but $3 million worth of inventory in just that period that was not available this year. Springtime, you know, coming out of what people often call like, you know, January, February, March, quote, show season. That's when people are finally starting to, you know, emerge from our little homes, and we are, you know, wanting to actually get out of the house, get in an RV, see it ourselves in person, see the slides open, and do that final decision. People have been researching all winter, all spring, and it's finally time to pull the trigger right before campgrounds open. And it's an exciting time. It's very fun because there's a lot of people coming in with a lot of fun ideas. It's a very good time. People are getting their campers dusted off and ready for camping that they already have. And it's generally a very positive time. We're all coming out of that winter funk, and it's something that you look forward to every year.
And so you're saying that during the time you guys were shut down, the equivalent of that time last year was $3 million in sales.
Yes. It's an astonishing number. I didn't even realize that myself until we had some internal meetings recently.
That is incredible. And you're right. I mean, the winter funk in Michigan's a real thing. I have spent some time in Michigan, and spring comes, everyone's excited to go camping. You guys are ready. I would imagine you have your inventory at peak or you're near peak and you've got everything waiting, and then you've got to slam the door shut. So when did you have to close, and how long did you have to stay closed for?
It was in March there. It was roughly for about 2 weeks. So it was dead in the middle of March is when that happened. And that is when February and March, we usually have 100 to 100 plus unit sales months. So it was really starting to wind up. And then it was, okay, well, you're going to be closed till April 1st. All right, well, super bummer, but 2 weeks, we're going to live through this. We live through the winter. And then it was, okay, we're going to bump that back to April 15th. And then we're going to bump that back to the end of April. And then the thing that was really tough for us is the end of April was about when most states started to pretty much loosen up the reins. Michigan's numbers weren't where the legislature quite wanted them. So we were extended out a little bit further. And what was really tough about that is May 1st, Indiana, Ohio,
were
just basically open for business.
And you're talking 15 miles.
13 miles away. Yeah. You could, I'm not saying I could throw a rock, but
you could drive to another dealership if you're RV shopping is what you're saying.
You're so close. And the people down there didn't realize that their state restrictions were different than ours. And I'm hearing from all these different RV representatives of every company. We have our Jayco contacts. Guys, hey, look, you might want to get some orders in to replace some things, even if you haven't sold them, because everything's busting loose. And they're like, yeah, the problem is, you said yourself, we were sitting on peak inventory volume. Just at that point was just shy of 700 units, which is very heavy for us. And I know that there are some bigger places, but that's no small amount of inventory. And manufacturers are like, oh, everything's going crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I can see it out my front door. I'm stuck at home watching Tiger King on Netflix again.
And it's not, at that point for you guys to, what they're saying makes sense. But for you to be out there looking at 700 RVs and like, well, let me stock up on some more. I don't think I would have been opening the checkbook either.
Well, and the thing is, we, in a sense, were positioned in that we didn't need to, because we were at that peak stocking volume. We had our spring show season, quote unquote, stock on hand. We were loaded up really heavy. There was nothing we were short on. We were already very heavy. So we were stocked up and ready for this, or so we thought. And then the gates did open even a little bit. And it almost reminded you of one of those movies where someone's trapped in a submarine underwater and they open a hatch and just the entire ocean comes flooding through. We just weren't no one could have predicted.
And what we're hearing from both campground owners and from dealerships, were you having staffing issues too? So many people are saying we opened, things went bonkers, and we didn't even have our complete staff there. Were you guys able to have the whole staff ready to go when you reopened?
That was a very, very real problem. We were basically working remotely. We had only very limited emergency staff in during those 2 weeks where everybody else was open, but Michigan was held back a little bit. And this is not a commentary on if that was right or wrong, by the way. I get it that when lives are the line, selling a camper is not the most fit when there's a lot of money in the mix, but there's human lives and then there's trailers, and the trailers will come later. But during that period, we were limited to virtually, we were still essential only staffing. And basically we had just a few folks on hand. So if a full timer had a furnace go out, or if a local fire truck needed hitch work, you know, we've done some of that before. We were there to help, you know, responders. But once we were able to, quote, reopen, it was with a disappointing only 25% of our staffing. So, you know, like I have 12 salespeople, I could have three. And the phones just never, like, we got in, you know, turned the phone system back on, had a phone call. Okay, no problem. Answer it. Hang up. Phone call. Holy cow. Hang up. Another phone call. And it just never quit.
And this is beginning of May?
Yeah, this was the, well, it'd be the second week of May when Michigan was finally able to do anything. And then thankfully, only after 1 or 2 weeks of that, we were able to have our staff back in the building. But at that point, we still had to act like it was a biohazard zone. Nobody else was allowed in the building. We weren't even allowed to let people use bathrooms. Like, it was, there were a ton of restrictions, and so many people just didn't understand it. The other thing that really compounded that challenge for us was there was a lot of other dealers in Michigan who just ignored all of it, who just opened shop and said, I don't care. We're doing whatever we want, however we want, because we don't think we're going to get caught. And I'm sure they didn't. But that was really tough because consumer expectations were then, well, I can just walk into any dealership anytime and crack a door and you can come help me. But the letter of the law said we were by appointment only. And imagine a person walks, like, imagine you walk to the front door of any place and they say, oh, sorry, you're only supposed to come here if you have an appointment. I mean, it just instantly rubs you the wrong way. Even if they did nothing wrong, it puts you in such a bad mood. You know?
Well, all of this is very similar to New Jersey, where we are. The timelines are similar, et cetera, et cetera. And in New Jersey, I just think everyone was so pent up. So when this explosion started immediately, and were these new RV buyers that had never bought an RV before? Were these people upgrading? Was it a little bit of everything?
A little bit of everything, but the most severe influx of first timers I've ever seen in my 11 years of doing this. And when I started noticing that trend, like, I started seeing all these trailers leaving. And since I'm the camera guy, every time a used trailer comes in, I got to put the camera to it. And I noticed I was doing very little camera work. And I was like, what is going on? Do we have a communication failure post quarantine? What's up here? And I started really looking into it. And I started talking to people as they left and say, you know, what brought you to RVing? And they're like, well, there's nothing else to do this year. And it just really hit me. It's like, it's not like you're going to go to the races. It's not like you're going to go see the game. There is no races. There is no game. And camping's the thing to do this year. I don't know where these people are going to find vacancies, though. Like, I'm really interested to know what your campground owner thinks. People listening to this, you should really tune in to that. That's going to be interesting.
They did. I don't necessarily want to share the number because I don't know if they want that public. But okay. They opened in California this Monday, and they told me the amount of money they took in that day. And this is a small family-owned campground. It was astonishing. Mm-hmm. The amount of money in reservations that single day. Of course, that was after months of not having any business. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm having friends from high school call me about RVs. I'm having my brother's friends call me about RVs. I'm having colleagues that I worked with 10 years ago call me about renting RVs. It's wild right now. It is really unprecedented, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, the one that really throws you off is when it's a young lady you knew in high school who has been married and her name has changed and you don't recognize that come across on Facebook and you're like, who is this?
Yeah, this is the thing to do.
It really is. You know, you keep seeing it on the social media, but it has become the summer of RVing. It's the new American pastime right now.
And with no baseball, that makes sense. All right, let's talk about the record-breaking day. So, when did that happen? What day was that? And how many did you sell that day?
That was not
roughly.
What was two Saturdays ago at the time of this recording? I don't know what that translates into. And we had been busy the previous couple Saturdays, and for about 2 weeks leading up to that, there were only one or two days during those weeks where we sold anything less than 10 a day. which, and you had me kind of walk you through some late spring into early summer kind of sales patterns. That tracks. That's about what we expected. Like, okay, we're getting back on track here. At least on the Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays tend to be our heaviest days. But like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll sell 3 to 6. And it gives our team chance to like call insurance companies and do the service work and get stuff like that caught up to get a trailer ready to leave. But every day it was 10, 11, 12. And it never stopped. So Saturday comes in and I literally told, we have a newer person, I said, I hope you brought your running shoes today. And it was our first day that we got to wear shorts at work, which was nice. And 9 o'clock rolled around. You know, doors are pretty much officially open at that point. We've got a couple people wandering around the parking lot starting to fill up. And what I kind of do as more of like a marketing person at Haylett's, not really a direct salesperson, but very closely related, I tend to come in on Saturdays just to help out, to make sure nobody feels ignored or missed and questions are answered. And I try to be like a last line of defense. Well, I noticed that I started taking guests and it was like 9:45 in the morning. That doesn't usually start happening with me until like around 11. And I just went, oh man, it's already happening. And I'm assisting people. I'm helping direct them to salespeople, direct them to service, direct them to the RVs that they're looking for. And about halfway through the day, I look at our board. We've already got 13 sold and it's not even halfway, you know. And then it just kept going. And right at the 4 o'clock closing Saturday deadline, we had 24 sold. And then within a few minutes after, the other folks still wandering around the lot, made some final decisions and reserved two more. And we just looked at each other. It's the single most successful day we've ever had at our facility. Like no RV shows, no events, no nothing, just there for the day. And it's just a perfect storm. Everything lined up. It was incredible.
26 units.
Yeah.
And so that's two and a half times more than a normal good day. Is that right?
Pretty close. I mean, you know, anytime you're hitting double digits, you're pretty happy. Anytime a Saturday rolls through and there's sun shining, if you're seeing 10 to 12, that feels about right. Anything more than that feels like icing on a cake. And it just never stopped.
So what did you just, I mean, you have to give you every single unit. Like, what were people buying? Like, what are people gravitating towards certain price points to certain brands? I mean, what was moving out the door that day?
Yeah, the heaviest influx that I've seen, and I've heard this track talking to various agents at different manufacturers, the heaviest success that we've been seeing is more in like the J Flight sector or the J Feather sector, where it's still a little bit more price sensitive segments. But the funny thing is, every single big Eagle fifth wheel, not HT, but full Eagle, and every single North Point that we had that day were all sold. So it's not just, quote, entry level or price sensitive. It's just that's where you're seeing the biggest influx. And I believe that's a reflection of so many of those first time RVers who have typically like a half ton vehicle, who maybe haven't upgraded or planned on a different tow vehicle. That half ton sector right now is exploding in a way that nobody could have ever predicted, to a point that really long term through the remainder of the year, I don't believe we'll be able to be supported at this level because the supply chain was interrupted for so long.
I would have guessed J Flight. And I'm just thinking, you know, if you're out there and your summer vacation plans got canceled and you've got a half ton pickup in the driveway, you know, I always tell people, well, you've spent 2/3 of the money anyway, mm-hmm. you know, to mm-hmm. go out and buy something that's reasonably priced like that. But then the fifth wheel thing fascinates me too. So in the Thor consumer survey, Stephanie and I pointed out on a recent episode that there was a disproportionate interest in buying a fifth wheel that, to use your language, like did not really track with traditional purchases. And I have this crazy theory that like in the era of COVID, like people want the fortress on wheels to protect them, you know, like they want that big, comfortable fifth wheel, almost like a quarantine vehicle or something like that. And you guys don't do motorhomes, right? You're all towable. Is that correct?
We're not exclusively towable. We are Jayco exclusive and motorized, but we do have, I will absolutely say, a much smaller representation there. Not because we don't think they're awesome, just because we have so much in total, there's literally no ground space at our facility for more motorized.
All right, we're going to come back in 1 second. I just have some more questions for Josh sort of about like the state of the industry and some of the struggles they're having. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Blackstone. Blackstone is the original outdoor griddle. With millions of Blackstones sold, they are changing the way that America cooks outdoors. Blackstone lets you cook everything you can cook on a traditional grill and 1,000 things you can't. Want an incredible breakfast? How about lunch or dinner? The solid steel flat top infuses the flavors, and you've got enough surface to cook for the hungriest army. Pick the size and style that is perfect for you. And this week's featured product is the 22-inch Adventure Series. The 22-inch Blackstone is my personal favorite. It works at home. It works at the campground. It can easily feed my family of five. There's a Blackstone for everybody. If it's not a Blackstone, it's not a griddle. Cook anything, anytime, anywhere. Head over to blackstoneproducts.com to see their complete lineup of griddles and accessories. So Josh, you were pointing out like you have concerns about keeping inventory to where it needs to be. Like, I mean, is inventory low right now for you? Are you struggling to get more units in?
Well, I say that we're down to only 400 RVs. Like, that sounds like a low number. But with everything that we represent, that leaves significant holes on our shelves. If you look at the available RV inventory out there right now at most dealerships, it's going to actually look a lot like the toilet paper shelves at Walmart pre-COVID. There's certain things that we're just flat out of. And I've never felt so bad telling so many people I don't have something that was here a few days ago because somebody else just beat them to it. But it's like, it's constantly. You remember when we used to all go to Blockbuster and you'd take the last copy of a movie and you were like right out of the corner of your eye, you saw someone was walking that way and they were like really disappointed. I always felt kind of bad, but at the same time, you know, I'm sorry I was there. I'm going to watch that movie. But that's what it feels like. It's so many people are like, I'm so desperate to go camping. And they pull up a printout that they had from 2 weeks ago thinking, oh, man, I'll get to go see this thing. They show up. I can't find this one. I'm like, it's because it's like those. It's the taillights pulling out right now. And they're like, no way.
It's a good problem to have, I guess. I mean, at the end of the day.
It is, but it is still a problem. And what people need to understand here is how many layers are involved in this. Like, we've talked a lot about sales stuff. I would like to mention a couple service points for people to consider, because there are so many people who almost got almost isolated, abandoned, really interrupted when all this happened. But it all kinds of goes along the same lines. If you think about it, what, 6 weeks ago, it was literally illegal for me to be at work doing my job. We went from it being literally illegal to everything going crazy. But the problem is it wasn't just dealers. The manufacturers, the production was shut down. The parts suppliers for the manufacturers like Jayco, they were shut down. So, like, what happens? How easy it is for this all to get disrupted? At some point in the supply chain, there's somebody comes for your 30 or 50 amp RV plug. What if they can't keep up? You can't make RVs without electric cords. What are you going to do?
Well, you know? And some manufacturers are having to switch suppliers
to keep up with the manufacturers. And even then, so let's say you switch from like the stable steps. Let's say somehow magically Morad can keep up with stuff. You can't just call Lippert and they can't just magically make more steps. They're already at capacity. So there's only so many AV switch options. The industry was not. There's no contingencies for a two and a half month void in any sort of production in this industry. So the parts suppliers don't have enough parts to get to the manufacturers to build the new RVs, to get to the dealers to sell to customers. But that also means like dealers tend to get parts after manufacturers. So if the manufacturers aren't getting parts, that leaves dealers in a problem. My service parts and service shelves, they're getting really bare and there's just no parts. There's no parts to put back on the shelves. I can order everything all day long. It just doesn't exist yet.
The tricky part there is I think you don't want these new owners to be disappointed by the experience. And I think we're all going to have to deal with that in some ways because, you know, if you buy an RV right now as a new owner and you can't book a campground anywhere this summer, well, that could leave a bad taste in your mouth. If you buy a new RV this summer and you can't get parts, that could leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah. And I don't know the answers to that. And I don't believe there is any answer other than time. And, you know, people don't consider time a resource, but it definitely is. We only have so much of it, whether it's today, later tonight, whether it's your lifetime. There's only so much available. And when you're making a big purchase like this, it's all based around your available time. And anything that interrupts that, it is very sensitive very quickly. And I think by this fall, everything will have largely equalized and normalized. And say around September, October, November, everything will look pretty much, quote, back to normal. But it's you called it a roller coaster. And when people say a roller coaster ride, what they usually mean is there's that first slow ramp up and then there's the big drop. But this whole situation, this whole, whether it's sales or service, anything RV related, it's the entire roller coaster until we get to the fall. Because you're going through multiple loops, you're going through several fast speed banks and drops, and it's been a crazy ride, and it continues to be so, and it continues to change and evolve, but it will come back around, and it will be exactly how everyone imagined it. It just might take some time to get there.
Now, so many of our listeners are very familiar with all the great content you put out, but we also have a lot of new listeners out there. So tell everybody where we can find you and the types of content that you are putting out. And you have an excellent YouTube channel. Just give us all that information.
Oh, sure. Thank you. The primary function that I have is I do walkthrough RV video tours that are not about, hey, you can get this thing for $99 a month. But it's more about, hey, here's this trailer. Here's what it represents. Here's the things that it's good at. Do those sound like your plan? Like, I try to educate people. I put out educational videos in a sense, not just sales videos. I've been told they're highly entertaining. My wife tends to disagree. But we have, at HeyWhatRV.com, you can see the inventory we have with a walkthrough video tour of every single thing, whether it's new or used. And I do my best to try to be as unbiased as possible. If I see a glitch, a defect, I talk about it. I point it out. You know, I try to put some human element things into there, and a lot of experience of my own as an RVer and 11 years of talking to tens of thousands of people and hearing their experiences.
Well, but I have to say, it's not just the walkthroughs. You're being humble, and I never thought I would say that about you. But there's a lot of great general interest RVing content on your YouTube channel. Things about maintenance, things about R values and insulation, things about awning, you know, taking care of your awning. Just a lot of really good general interest stuff, too. So everybody's got to check you out on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the thing I wanted to mention is, you know, that's the primary thing I do. But I offer a huge amount of supplemental information. We actually have, by a nice clip, actually, the largest followed YouTube channel of any RV dealer in the world. And on that, I have things, you know, like you said, like R values, cleaning and maintenance tips. Here's how you check your slide seals. And I'm trying to expand on those sorts of how-tos and cautionary, hey, watch out for kind of videos. And like how to double, like even so far as like, how to double check, like how to really know if you have the best deal when comparing multiple dealers. I even put content like that out there because we're not afraid to go head to head with somebody like that. And we want customers to know, here's the skinny, whether you buy from me or not, this is factual information that you should take with you.
And we will, in the show notes at thervatlas.com, we will link to the dealership and we will link to your great YouTube channel. Thank you so much for your time tonight. It was really interesting kind of going behind the scenes and seeing what life has been like for you guys.
Yeah, it's wild. There's a really weird thing going on right now too from dealers, which is kind of exacerbating the inventory shortage that we're running into, where like a 28 BHS J-Flight, we're all but sold out of anything like that from all of the different brands that we carry. It's such an innocuous common floor plan, and they're all gone. But we had that spring show stock in hand, and we normally, as we sell through that, we start to replace the things we need to get our way through summer, get to the Open House Expo. But the problem is, when the doors reopened and then this bomb went off, by the time everything started selling, if we go reordering things, well, it's already expo time. So now there's incentives and packages and discounts. So if I go crazy reordering everything that's sold, I'm going to get caught on the way wrong side of that equation. But if I don't, then I'm going to have nothing to sell. Like, it's a really hard thing to manage. I was actually working on inventory sheets right when you called, trying to figure our way through this thing. And everyone's in the same spot. It's not just me. It's all dealers are in the same position. And it's a weird thing. And if this never happened again, we'd be all right with it.
I hope so. I hope everything's back to normal for all of us sooner as opposed to later. Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show again.
Thanks, buddy. Four times.
Four times. You are tied with Amy Duthie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you're tied okay. for you're tired for tied for a record there, bud. All right. We'll see you at the campground, Josh.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Jayco, Thetford, Cabela's, Jellystone, and Go RVing. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.